Well, this morning we are going to be taking communion, as you can see. But some of you might be asking, what is communion and why do we set time aside to take it? We take it on the first Sunday of every month. And these are good questions, and I think that they deserve some real answers. And so my heart today is to hopefully and carefully give you an explanation and give you some understanding of the significance and of the special nature of this sacred event. Give me just a minute, okay? Just give me a second. Sorry, give me a second, okay? I've been praying and fasting this week for this moment. And now that it's here, I'm scared to death. I'm just being real and honest with you. I'm not going to be fake. I'm scared to death because this is an important moment in our belief and in our church. And I really don't believe that we understand the sacredness and the significance that communion can bring. There's been a lot of books and a lot of things written about it, and one of the books that I think that I've loved the most was by a guy named Perry Stone. I don't listen to everything he says. I don't know what he says too much, but this book that he wrote called The Meal That Heals, it's a good one. If you're looking for a good book and you want to know more about communion and the significance of it. And so today I just want to give you a good understanding of communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper. Some of you have heard it said there. And so the best place for us to start is to just go back to where Jesus basically instituted it, and he brought it forth. And we see in Matthew 26, if you'll turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 17 to 30, we're going to see where Jesus instituted communion. It didn't start out as communion, okay? So we'll read this, and then I'm going to get into some explanations. So Matthew 26, starting in verse 17, we're going to go all the way down to verse 30. Excuse me. It says, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? And he replied, being Jesus, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Well, that's pretty brazen, isn't it? Just go tell this guy, hey, we're coming to your house. We're going to celebrate. That's pretty cool. Jesus is awesome, isn't he? So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad, and they began to say to him one after the other, surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus answered, yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Thank you. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So I want to bring this to you. I want to get you to where we're at in this scripture. I want you to understand, Jesus was about to be crucified, and they were sharing the Passover meal with the disciples. The Passover was a time that the Jews had set aside so that they could remember their deliverance from Egypt. Okay, so we know that in Egypt, the Israelites, the children of Israel, they were captive there for over 400 years. And then God sends a man named Moses. He comes to the Pharaoh and he tells him, let my people go. We know that he fails to do that until God sends some plagues. And the last one of these plagues was where the death angel would pass by and he would come through Egypt and he was going to take the life of the firstborn son of every home and of every family. The only way to escape this death of your firstborn son was to take the blood of a lamb and to place it on the doorpost of your home. And when God would come through Egypt that night and he seen the blood on your doorpost, he would pass over your house and your firstborn would be spared. So at the Passover meal, the people there, they were eating three things. I want us to see these three things. It was roasted lamb. It was unleavened bread or bread without any yeast in it, and then they had bitter herbs that would go with it. But I want us to see as Jesus was set there with his disciples, these three things were all on the table, and Jesus begins to use these foods so that he can begin to prepare the disciples for his crucifixion that was just around the corner. And Jesus picked up the bread and he broke it, the Bible says. And then he explained to his disciples, just as this bread is going to be broken, I too will be broken. And then he also picked up the cup, the Bible says. And with the wine, he explains, this wine is a symbol. It's a symbol of my blood that's going to be shed for all of sin, for all of mankind. And with these words, that's whenever Jesus started what we commonly know as communion, or the Lord's Supper. But in the act of communion, there's four acts that happen at the Lord's Supper. And I want to go over these these four acts with you if we can. So act one would be remembrance. Act one would be remembrance. So what are we remembering, okay? Today when you pick up this piece of bread, when you come down, you pick up this piece of bread and this cup of juice, it's supposed to remind you of Jesus Christ. The bread is to remind us of how his body was broken on the cross, and he was without sin, but he took that place on the cross for you and me. In 1 Peter 2:24, the Apostle Peter tells us, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So there's healing that takes place in communion. When we eat the bread and we feel that crunch of the crust that's in our mouth, we're reminded of the brutal crushing that happened to the Lord Jesus as the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet, and as the stripes were put up on his back. We're remembering that it was supposed to be us on the cross. It was supposed to be us that dies for our sins. But Jesus, he became the spotless and perfect lamb, and he took my place and he took your place. Amen? This is why it's so sacred to us. The cup reminds us of the blood that was poured out from the body of Christ as it was being broken. And the blood of Jesus was shed for the remission, or for the cancellation, if you will, of your sin and mine. Hebrews 9:22 says, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So as you drink of the juice today, we're reminded of the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away the sins of the world. It takes away your sins and my sins. Amen? So Act 1 is remembrance. Act 2 would be examination. Examination. The Apostle Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 11:28. He says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And we'll be doing that in a little bit. So we're going to set some time aside to share the Lord's Supper, and we're not just fulfilling some ritual today, okay? This is not a church ritual today. Today, we're setting some time aside so that we can reflect, so we can self-examine. Before we take communion, we're going to spend some time in prayer doing those things. And you, some of you might say, well, why do we do that? And I want to explain that, and I want you to understand. It's because before Paul declared to us that a man should examine himself in verse 28, in verse 27 he writes, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So what we have to do is we have to understand that in reality, none of us, not one of us in this place, are truly worthy to participate in the Lord's Supper. And so when Paul speaks of taking it in an unworthy manner, he's talking about people who rush in and they participate without even thinking about the real meaning of what even's going on. And that's why I want us to really think about it today. I want us to know what we're fixing to do. And this is why we're going to take some time and we're going to examine our motives before we take it. And Paul basically is saying that if we eat this bread and we drink of this cup, without taking time to reflect the seriousness of the cross, that basically we're entering into the same guilt of the people that put him on that cross in the first place. Amen? So the next question that you might have for me is, so how do we act in an unworthy manner? Well, the scripture gives us these ways. I didn't make these up. I went in and read this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. From verse 18 to verse 32, you're going to find some reasons and some things that's going to disqualify us from taking the Lord's Supper and make us unworthy. Now, I'm going to kind of go a little fast on them maybe. Number one is having envy or strife in your heart. Number two is seeing the Lord's Supper as a ritual with no real spiritual significance. Number three, irreverence to God and the church. Number four, disrespect of the poor and the needy. Number five, unbelief in the significance of Jesus' sacrifice for all of us. Number six, not having repented of sins. Number seven, not examining our life and relationship with Jesus Christ. So thankfully, I'm not the one this morning to judge who can and who cannot participate in the Lord's Supper. However, I think that after we've taken some time to pray and to repent and to examine our hearts, we'll know whether or not we should participate. And that brings me to the third act of communion, and that's participation. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17 says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we gave thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. So the Lord's Supper is meant to be a participatory moment. It's not one to just sit and watch and to see how it's done, but it's a moment to participate in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when you look at these elements that are here before us this morning, you're going to see bread and you're going to see the cup. But it's more than that. You see, these elements, they represent the fact that through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on Calvary, that we are able to be included into that new family of God. Amen? And it's through the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ that we can receive salvation in our lives. It's only through that. And so we're not just participating in communion today, but we're participating in what Christ has done for you and I through the cross. Amen. So I want to encourage you to participate this morning, not just to make me happy or anything like that, or to fulfill some religious ritual. I want you to participate this morning just simply because you want to be a part of the body of Christ. and you want it to be a way to say, I'm one of his, and I'm a part of you as a body of Christ. So the fourth way to participate, or the fourth act of the communion, is proclamation, okay? And I know this is just straight out teaching today. It's not nothing fiery or anything, but it will change your life if you'll let it. So 1 Corinthians 11:26 says this. It says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So participation in communion today is actually also a part of proclamation. You're proclaiming, or you're telling, the greatest story that was ever told, the story of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to all mankind. You see, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his blood and his body, we can all be delivered from the sin and from the shame that sin brings us in our life. So the blood of Jesus Christ sets any sinner free. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed this morning. You may be sitting here, and we're in a room of a lot of people, and we could start judging sins. But I want you to understand one thing, that God doesn't see one sin as bigger than the other. When you and I, we begin to look at that, we begin to think of one sin as greater than the other. We would think maybe murder was more of a sin than lying. But I want you to understand, when God sees it, he sees it from the heavenly realm, and he looks down and he sees all sin the same. And so this morning I want us to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ can set us free from any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. We're no longer captives to the world and the world of sin, but we're new creations in Jesus Christ. The broken body of Christ provides healing for all of our diseases. Now this is the part that a lot of people don't understand about communion, but it brings healing for all of our diseases and for all the broken emotions of our lives. His willingness to endure what he did on that cross for you and I, the shame that he took upon himself, has become the greatest source of healing in that we can have. And I'm praying that this morning that people will be healed in this place. I'm praying not only physical healing, but I'm praying emotional healing. I'm praying spiritual healing. And so this morning, I'm praying for healing over you this morning. And so right here, I want us to take time. I want us to come on down and get our elements at this time. So what we're going to do is everybody will stand up. You'll go out this side. You'll pick up your elements and again go back to your chair that way. And if you don't mind, just remain standing once you get back to your chair, okay? So if you would you stand? Randy, could you play us some music as they're coming to get their elements, please? Just go ahead and get your elements and make your way back to your seat. You see, in the Lord's Supper, we looked at those four acts of communion, okay? We remember what Christ has accomplished in our lives. Today, as you take this, I want you to remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. You see, you may be here today and you think, Jesus hasn't done anything for me, because you haven't asked him into your heart. But whether you've asked him into your heart or not, Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood and his body was broken for you, that your sins could be forgiven, that you could be healed. And so as we get our sacraments this morning, I want us to remember these things. I want us to remember all of the sin that Jesus has forgiven you of. When I think back on my life and all of the things, the messes that I made, and how today I can stand before the Lord and come boldly into his presence because I've received the gift of salvation. I've received the blood of Jesus Christ washing away my sin. And if you are here this morning and you haven't done that, I want to urge you this morning, the gift of salvation is free. It's already been bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ is willing to forgive you of every sin that you've committed this morning. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe, and I receive you into my heart. Wash away my sin and make me new in your eyes. Jesus, forgive me, and it'll be done. If you've already done that in your life and you've lived for him, I want you to remember this morning all of the things that Jesus has done for you. We examine is the one of the acts. So we examine our lives and we make repentance. If you're here today and you've lived for the Lord several years or weeks or months or whatever it's been, but you're like me and you mess up and you make mistakes and you have to go back and, Jesus, man, I blew it today. I need you to forgive me. If you need to repent this morning, I want you to take a few moments and I want you to examine your heart and see if this morning you need to repent for anything that you haven't brought before him. The third act was we participate spiritually in the sacrifice of Jesus by taking communion. We participate in that spiritually in the sacrifice of Jesus by taking communion. So basically this morning we're joining Jesus and we're saying, Jesus, I recognize what you did. And today I'm going to participate. I'm going to take the blood and I'm going to take the bread and I'm going to take these symbols because I'm going to remember what you've done for me. And the fourth act was proclaim. We proclaim. This morning I want us to proclaim the message of the gospel. As we receive each element this morning of the Lord's Supper, I want you to proclaim the goodness of God in your life and in your family and in your home. Isn't God good to us? Amen. So most of you are back at your seat. We've got just a few more coming. While you're remembering and examining and getting ready to participate, I want us to just all go to the Lord in prayer. And let's pray before we take our cup, before we take the bread. I want you to hold these sacraments, and I'm going to take some as well. Let me grab some. We all know this is just grape juice and a piece of bread. But for the next few moments, I want you to really remember the price that was paid for you and for me. It didn't come cheap. It cost him. You see, Jesus didn't just die, but Jesus was punished. Jesus was beaten brutally. It took him a while to die. And through that moment of death, everything represented something for you and for me. Whether it was the sin that the blood was going to cover, or whether it was the broken body that was going to be for your healing or my healing. You see the price. It was way more than you and I could pay. Jesus said, I'm going to take it. I'm going to pay that price. You know why he did it? Because he loves you. And when you love somebody, what do? You want to have a relationship with them. You want to spend time with them. You want to know them inside and out. And can I tell you this morning, that's what Jesus wants. From you and I, is he wants a relationship with us. He wants to not just have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He shared his body and his blood so that he could also share his life with us. Amen. And so this morning I want us to pray and then we'll take our sacraments. Father God, we come to you this morning, and I'm just so thankful, Lord, that we have an opportunity to just take some time and remember what you did for us on that cross. Father, it was one of the most horrific deaths in history. It was painful. It was scary. It was sad. It was emotional for you. But Jesus, you didn't back down. You didn't walk away. You didn't say it's too much. You said, it's okay. I love them. I love them. So, yes, I'll get up on that cross. I'll take whatever punishment you want to put on me because I love them. They're my children, and I love them. And so today, God, we remember what you did, and we're so thankful. And God, we want to examine our hearts this morning. Father, if there'd be any sin within me, Father, I confess it to you today, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to wash me. Wash me in your precious blood, God. Father, speak into our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, as we're remembering and as we're examining ourselves this morning, God, we want to surrender ourselves completely and wholly to you at this very moment. Lord, I pray as we take this communion, Lord, that it would be a blessing to you and to us. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks for it, and I want us all to say thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Jesus. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You can take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup. Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just partook of your new covenant. Father, as we remember the sacrifice, we know, Jesus, that you died upon that cross for us, but Father God, you're the one that let your son come. You're the one that sent him. You gave him as this sacrifice for each and every one of us today. Lord God, I pray that not one person in this room takes that for granted. Lord, that we realize the cost of our sin was great, but your son was greater. Your son was greater. And he was great enough to cover all sin, to heal all sickness and all diseases. And so, Father, right now I pray over every person in this room. I ask, God, if there'd be one in here that does not know you as their Savior, Father, that at this moment they would say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life so that I can walk with you and I can have that communion with you each and every day. Father, I pray for those that are in this place today that need a healing. God, a lot of us in this place today needs a spiritual healing. We need emotional healing. Father, fear and anxiety is running rampant in our nation like never before. Father, today I pray for emotional healing to take place. I pray for every person in this room that has a sickness, a disease, an ailment, God, that as they remember and as they examine and participate, God, this morning, that when they leave this place, not only would they be able to proclaim your death, but God, that they could proclaim your provision of healing in their life and in their body. God, that you would just move on every heart and every body today in this room. Father, You're all we need. We just need a simple touch from you this morning. And so, Father, we just come to you so thankful and so grateful for what you did for us on that cross. How it not only brought salvation to us, but it also brought healing. And God, today we claim those things in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon us this morning and move in our midst and in our bodies. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. God bless you. It's Labor Day weekend. I hope you have a great weekend. Pastor Zach has got some announcements. He's going to come at this time. Give it up for Pastor Zach.
Give it up for Jesus this morning. Amen. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Hey, guys. So glad about this morning and just what God is doing in our church. Lots of amazing things happening. If this is your first time at Grace Point Church, welcome to the crazy, dysfunctional, Jesus-loving family. We're so excited that you're here today. As a matter of fact, we're so excited that we actually have a gift for you. So we just want to meet you real quick, just right outside these doors to your right. Very low-key. Don't worry. We're not going to ask for your social security card or anything like that. We just want to say hi, introduce ourselves, and give you a little information about our church. Just a reminder for tithes and offering, just be sure to give online, or we have the giving boxes in the back. We have the giving kiosk. Jesus tells us to give and to be obedient in our tithes and offering and to invest in what God is doing. And thank God that he is doing a lot of things through our church right here in Irving, Texas, and we just get to be a part of it. Amen. Last thing before we go, because I do have a fantasy football draft to win. Amen. Amen. Some of the guys in the church are going to lose. But sorry, just a little bit of fun here. Like I said, we're a dysfunctional family, so we like to have fun. But with that, this evening at 5 o'clock, we are starting our first Sunday prayer. And we're so excited about that. I was talking about that a little bit this morning. And, you know, prayer does two things. First, it brings your attention to God. It focuses your mind on what God is doing in your life. It helps you get to God's presence and draw near to him. But another cool thing about prayer is it really begins to change you. It really begins to change you. So I want to invite each of you guys tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to have the doors open. There really is no agenda. There really is no agenda. It's just, hey, we want to seek the Lord together. And Scripture says that when two or three of us agree together, that Jesus hears us and he answers our prayers. And so I'm believing that God is going to do some really cool things. And I believe that prayer is going to be the thing that helps accelerate that. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, we love you so much. Remember, we love God. And we love people. And so I hope you guys have a great day today. And I'll catch y'all later.